In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We have Eleanor McCullen here with us. Today, I really feel that I'm speaking to women who have had abortions, and some of them have justified it by saying, "I'm pro-choice," and they never dealt with the experience that they lost a child. That's a very difficult experience to come to, that I lost a child and it was my doing. But you see, only when you reach that point can you be healed. Only when you reach the point that, you know what, I killed my child. And I know that sounds very, very difficult to say. But if you are just rationalizing because now you're a pro-choice Catholic, you really need to deal with it because it's dealing with you. I'm going to tell you, it's dealing with you just because you're a woman and just because by nature it is not anything written in the DNA of women that they should have abortions. So this is September, and I'm thinking of things that always happened in October. October is pro-life month, and I remember when the governor of Massachusetts just tore that up and said no more pro-life, but we still celebrate October as the pro-life month. Eleanor's got some stories to tell us, and I think they're very interesting, and I want you to listen carefully.
Hello, everyone. It's nice to be here with you, Father. And I agree with you. Just before I tell a couple of my uplifting stories, I think you're perfectly truthful in saying that a woman that has had an abortion, if she could recognize it for what it is and then go for healing, talk to a priest, talk to a minister. And then there are places where she could go and do a Bible study. There's help out there because and also, Father, we can't forget the men that are suffering. We always forget the men. But right now for the women, for instance, there's a wonderful group in Women's Concern. I'm going to give the telephone number. If anyone has had an abortion, the Lord understands. He just wants you to go on with your life. He has mercy. He has forgiveness. He's holding you in his arms. At the same time, it's wonderful to talk to a support group, someone else that's been through this. So a Woman's Concern has a beautiful place, wonderful people you could talk to. And I'm going to give their telephone number in a minute. So if you have your pencil handy, in fact, a couple things I'll be saying, a pencil would be very beneficial. Also, besides a Woman's Concern dealing with Bible study for someone who, a man or a woman that has been involved in an abortion, maybe they didn't even have the abortion themselves, Father, but there are people suffering that even drove a person to a Planned Parenthood or to a hospital for an abortion. Someone that was just the driver that has a guilty conscience. So, Father, you're right to reach out to everyone who's suffering. They're stuck. Maybe they're paralyzed. They can't get up and do their work. They thought they could, but they have grief. They're just grieving, which is normal. But to talk to a support group is extremely beneficial. And it's exactly about the men. Last week, Father, a man came by. And he said, "Do you mind if I speak with you?" So, of course, we said no. It was fine. So he said that he had driven a woman to have an abortion 36 years ago. And he said, "You can't believe this. I hope you believe this." He said to me, "I still have not gotten over it. And to see you standing here," he said, "I really feel like I should come too and help you out because you're doing a good job here." He said, "I promised the woman the moon if she would keep that baby. But she didn't listen. She had the abortion, and I was the driver, and I still haven't gotten over it. And then I spoke to him that I believe that the Father in heaven has his baby, and I suggested that he name the baby and have some type of healing. Of course, I mentioned Project Rachel, which is also very good, and also a woman's concern that would be very helpful. We talked for 15 minutes. He had tears in his eyes. He said, I never got married. I never had any children, but I forgot. I never have forgotten that day. So it's good that you address that, Father. We forget about it. Now, if you have a pencil handy, the telephone number for a woman's concern is 617-825-0838. And something else that's happening, Father, that people can get involved in, it, instead of hiding in their homes or in their offices and having this grief, this October, we're having the 40 Days for Life. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. And the dates are September the 25th through November 3rd. Now, just to come out and pray is healing. It's very healing to just come out and pray in front of Planned Parenthood. I suggest that you try it during those days. I'm going to give you the telephone number for Rita Russo. You can go on the computer if you do that, and you would do 40daysforlife.com. 40 days, and it's 40daysforlife.com, and she'll give you the instructions. But just to come out and pick a time during that scheduled time is excellent. Even Friday night, you know what we're doing, Father. Actually, it's Rita Russo doing it. I'm just telling the word today. But on Friday nights, during that period, if you look on your calendar, Friday nights, people are just gathering for the rosary in front of Planned Parenthood, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. It's a rosary vigil on Friday night. And some priests will be coming each Friday night to lead the rosary. So that's something. It just brings what you're suffering out in the open, and you're going and you're praying and you're asking God to change other people's hearts and minds. And believe me, it's extremely healing. So I'm suggesting that you do that. It's a little suggestion. And thank you for letting me share that, Father.
You see, I know there are women who are suffering, and they have pushed it down, and they don't deal with the reality, and yet they're stuck. They're stuck because they've never dealt with the reality of what they did at Planned Parenthood or at one hospital. And so, please, please, for your own sake, God loves you, and He loved you the day that you were having the abortion. But let's call sin, sin. Let's call life, life. Let's call the reality of a baby, a baby. I've never gone to a thing shower. It's always a baby shower. You know, you make it a baby because you want to have it, but if I don't want to have a baby, it's a thing. It's the product of conception. Well, you know, there's no product of conception. It is a baby. We human beings conceive children. Women conceive children. That's just the reality of it all. That this baby in the womb was taken for whatever reason, you see. But I want to deal with it. I don't want to run from it, and I don't want to be pro-choice as a result of trying to make myself believe it was okay. It's a woman's choice. It's not a woman's choice to kill her child. It's not a man's choice to kill the child. It's God's choice. Every human being that is conceived, it is the Lord who made that child and nobody else.
Yes, Father. Now, that when you said that, it reminds me of a story I had a few years ago. I met a young woman in front of Planned Parenthood, and we spoke. And she said, no, you don't understand. I just got this wonderful job, and I have to have the abortion. And I, you know, I'm sure I spoke a little bit more and told her we could help, etc. No, I'm going to have the abortion, which she ended up doing, Father. She went in and she had the abortion. And I always give my card out with my telephone number. And I never heard from her again, except for about 5 weeks later. And she called me and she was, I could hear she was crying on the other end. So I said, "Hi, and what's up?" And she said, "I had the abortion." And she said, "I am so grief-stricken that I haven't been able to get out of bed in the morning to get dressed to go to this job." So, I mean, that's what happens. It sounds unbelievable, but that's exactly what happened. She was covered with grief, and she had her business suit all ready. She was ready, but she couldn't get out of bed in the morning to go to the workplace. So, of course, I invited her over. She came over to the house in those days. We prayed. I sent her to Project Rachel for a Bible study. She couldn't actually go to work even after that for a while, but she finally did. She never got that job back, but she went with the same company, and she started back like 10 hours a week, part-time, and I believe she is now working full-time, but it took her 3 years just to get mobilized and get out of the house. I assume she's doing okay at this point, but it was certainly a hard struggle. Now, just to go back a little bit, I want to make sure, Father, that I give Rita Russo's telephone number, because this 40 days for life, it's a short period of time. You could come out one day a week, 1 hour a week, Friday night for the prayer vigil. Just get involved. You'll love it. You'll feel better. And the Lord honors your prayer. Prayer is going to be the secret of this turning around of this evil. And prayer, we cry out, and people would say, the world would say, "What are you talking about? He doesn't hear the prayer." But he does. 5 people gathered together for a prayer group, 10 people, 100 people. The Lord counts on our prayers. He counts on us to worship him, and he counts on us to cry out for mercy. So please come out. It's a short period of time. It's during the October. As Father said, it's Life Month. And the Rita Russo's wonderful person, and her telephone number is 781-762-4391.
Say it again.
Okay. 781-762-4391. Just begin. Just do it. Do something. Anybody that's listening, I know you're saying, "You know, I want to do it. I think I'll do it. Maybe I'll do it." But just do it. Come on. Call Rita. She's doing it. People will be out. Everybody will be there. And everybody has their story. Maybe they've had an abortion. Maybe they drove somebody. Maybe they're just there to pray. Who knows? But they're all gathered. They're all unified. Jesus said, "I want all to be one." So I'm calling for unity, especially just during this 40 days for life.
You know, even the people at Planned Parenthood, their hearts melt when they find out that a woman is having twins. Tell us about that, Eleanor.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it, Father? Because like many times a person will be going in for an abortion and they do the ultrasound. I mentioned this before, Father. Planned Parenthood will do the ultrasound. Now you think, "Oh, isn't that nice?" No, it has nothing to do with being nice. They do the ultrasound because I have to tell you what they do. They measure the head of the fetus, and they know how far along the young woman is, and that's how they charge for an abortion. This is what they do, because you know an abortion costs from anywhere from $400 to $1,800. And so how would you know what to charge? So you have to know if this is going to be a 2-day procedure, a 1-day procedure. And so you measure the circumference of the baby's head. That's basically what happens. Now, I will also tell you that it's the legal right of the woman to see that ultrasound, but she must ask. Of course, the people at Planned Parenthood or wherever they're doing abortions, they don't want you to see that picture because it's a picture of a human being. And it's a head. There's a head and there's an eyes and the heart's beating and there's little fingers. So they don't want you to see that because you'll say, "Oh, wait a second. ah, I didn't know, so I don't want to go through with this. And of course, then they lose the money. So the but if a person is there, they can say, could I see the ultrasound? And by legal right, the technician should say, yes. I just want to point that out. I don't know whether anybody realizes it's a legal right to see that ultrasound. So I've had people come out, Father, and they said they changed their mind. And I said, how could that be? And they said, well, when we were having the ultrasound, the technician said, do you want me to tell you how many hands I see or how many fingers I see? Because their heart is convicted, Father, when they see two babies in the womb. And it's strange. I mean, I could see why they would do that, too, of course. But why not one? Why not one little baby with five fingers? But many times the technician will say, and then, of course, the mother says, yes, tell me. And they'll say, well, I see two sets of hands. And of course, then even the mother that's the mother to be says, oh, well, yeah, that's too much. I can't kill two. It's a mystery, Father. I guess the two is just overwhelming. The one should be overwhelming, but two is definitely. So technicians do have a heart someplace there. And so they'll say that. And the woman I have, we have a wonderful mother coming over to the house this week, and she has twins, the boy and the girl. And so people have come to me and said, no, it's twins and I can't do it. So we thank God for that. We praise him for his goodness, and we just wish that the technicians would quit, get another job, and so they can sleep at night, Father. I don't know if they don't have a conscience or what, but I pray for people who are doing abortions.
Tell us about baby Esther.
Oh, Father, that's such a wonderful story, and it involves the men at Norfolk. You know, I do go to Norfolk Prison, and the men are there, and I'll be there tonight, actually, and we have Mass. We have about 90 people that come to Mass, 90 men on a Monday night, and Father Christopher O'Connor will be saying the Mass tonight. Well, about a year and a half ago, one of my mothers had a baby, but guess what, Father? The baby was born prematurely. She was only 1 pound. Can you imagine? And the baby ended up staying in the hospital 150 days. But the first time I got the word that the baby was born at 1 pound, I told the men at Norfolk, and they adopted this little baby, Esther. And that's her name. Her name's Esther, but we call her Baby Esther. I guess we'll call her Baby Esther when she's 21. But so the men were fascinated that the baby was living at 1 pound, and they really adopted her. And they prayed for her, and they prayed for her. And every week they said, how many pounds is Baby Esther? So I said, well, now it's 2 pounds. Now it's 3 pounds. And honestly, Father, it uplifted their lives. But more importantly, the men, their prayers are powerful. Absolutely powerful. And I know that prayers played a huge part. Now, baby Esther came over to see me last night, and she's 20 pounds. She's the cutest little thing. And she's about a year and a half now. And every Monday night, you know how you have the prayers of the faithful during Mass? All this time, Father, in a year and a half, there's all the men pray, but there's one man, and he always says at the end of the prayers of the faithful, we're praying for baby Esther. Let's pray to the Lord. And you hear 90 men in their strong voices said, we pray to the Lord. Father, it's heartwarming. And I just love that story. So the men are powerful, and baby Esther now is growing and thriving. And we also praise God for that.
You see, until you realize that it's a baby, you can't go any further. You see, but I can't have this baby. It has nothing to do with you can't. And I want to tell you another thing. It isn't your body. It's another body. It's a body with hands and feet and a head. And it's a living creature, a living human being from the moment of conception. So you know, it's time to fess up. It's time to grasp the forgiveness of God. It's time to say, you know what? This is what I did, and I'm sorry. Rather than, this is what I did, and I'm pro-choice. Because you have to deal with it. You have to do it because your body knows it. Your psyche knows it. Your being knows it. You know, this is something that, like, a mother knows when she's pregnant. Even before the doctor. The body knows it. It tells the woman, I'm having a baby. I'm having a baby. I'm having a baby. We have another story about twins that they visited your house a couple of weeks ago. Tell us that story, because that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it's a lovely story, Father. And you know, I'm always thrilled to tell you the twins. Well, they named one Eleanor. We'll just leave it at that. And anyway, it's a beautiful story of two identical twin girls that were born. And it was kind of a struggle for them, actually, because they already had some children, and the young man wasn't working at the time, and so it was difficult. But we kind of walked along. Father and I both did that, really. We worked with them. We built up the trust, especially with the man, and got him to understand what was happening. Of course, we didn't mention that there were twins coming. We just were building up the trust that he can do this. The Lord has him, knows exactly what's happening, and our God will honor birth. And we just kept helping him emotionally. And, of course, then when the twins came, he was prepared to receive the twins and to accept the responsibility. And as I've often seen all throughout these years, Father, the Lord opens windows and doors. He really honors those who choose life, even when things seem bleak. Windows open and doors open. One of my father's years ago, maybe 4 years ago, he had no work, but the day he came to the hospital to see that baby girl born, he said, wow, he said, this is my little girl. And he went out, he rose to the occasion. He went out and he ended up getting two jobs. And it's a beautiful story of rising to the responsibility and trusting that God will help you. Once you say yes to his miracle in the womb, he will run with you and open all kinds of windows and doors. In all these years, Father, I've seen it time and time again.
I don't want to place guilt upon people. That's not what I'm doing. I want to place responsibility upon people so that they can get on with their life. You know, many of us need to do something in order to get on with our life. Not only with abortion, maybe the ability that someone died and they're gone. And you need to get on with your life. You cannot struggle with a person who's already been in the presence of God, gone to God. You have to get on with your life. It's the way it is. It's not only with abortion, you know. It's with people dying, children dying. That's the most terrible thing that there is. Last week, or the week before, we saw how the gas killed about 1,000 children, or whatever, a lot of children. But you see, this is happening every day in Planned Parenthood, and there are no pictures. There are no pictures, and no one is saying anything. You know, and we never receive a letter from headquarters that we need to talk about the abortion mentality. We need to talk about that it is a Holocaust. We need to talk about the reality and also the forgiveness that is due to the person or to the people. Not only to talk about the abortion reality, but the forgiveness that God has for people who aborted. It's all about mercy. It's not about condemnation. Not trying to condemn anybody. It's all about mercy. God has mercy for you and God has mercy for me. All about mercy. And we need to tap into that mercy by telling the truth, by saying the truth. This is what I did, and I'm sorry. You know, you name the child. You name the child. Then you have a mass said for the child. You don't have to let the person know it was an abortion. How do I know it was a boy or a girl? Ask the Lord. Name the child. You see, name it gives it an identity. It wasn't boy abortion. It was Francis. It was Lucas. It was Mary Ellen. You got to name it. Well, I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel, and today the gospel of life, that we believe that life begins at the moment of conception. Remember, it's the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, not the Immaculate Birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but the Immaculate Conception that we celebrate on December 8th. And yesterday was her birthday, 9 months after December 8th. Yesterday we celebrated the birthday of the Virgin Mother. Please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you know what? Let it go. Deal with it. Don't let it deal with you anymore. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.